The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus and his disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's room.
Good morning. How many of you guys know who this is? Fish. Do you know? Rainbow fish. How many of you have read the book, The Rainbow Fish?
I
have
rainbow fish.
Yeah? Have you read this book? Yeah. You haven't read it. Well, maybe we can help you with that. Okay. Yes, you do. It's a very good book. Rainbow fish was a very special fish. He lived in the ocean with all the other fish. You that have read the book, how was he different?
Because he's rainbow.
That's right. He had red scales. He had blue scales. He had green scales. But most important, he had scales that sparkled. And he was the only one that did that. One day, a little bluefish came to him and said, "Can I have one of your scales? One of your shiny, shiny scales?" What do you think he said?
No.
That's right. He said no. And so little bluefish went off and he played by himself. Another day, another little fish came to him and said, "Would you please give me just one sparkly scale?" And what did he say?
No.
No. By now, he had no friends. No one played with him, and he was sad. So he went to the starfish, and he asked the starfish, "What should I do?" Do you know what the starfish told him? No. He told him to go see Grandfather Octopus. Well, that was very scary because the octopus lived in a cave far away. But Rainbow Fish decided to go. So he went, and Octopus told him, "This is what you have to do, Rainbow Fish. You go back. And when little bluefish asks you for a scale, give it to him." Do you think he did? He sure did. He went back and little bluefish asked for a scale and he took one and gave it away. Not too long after that, all the little fish came around and said, "Rainbow Fish, would you please give me a scale?" What do you think he did? He gave each one, and finally, Blue Rainbow Fish only had one left. But he was very, very happy. This reminds me of the gospel Pastor Tim just read. In it, the disciples were talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to he said, "Whoever wants to be first has to be last. And whoever is last can be first. And that we should go and serve one another. And then he took some children, a little child, probably just like you. So stand up. Stand up. He took the child and he wrapped his arms around him. Wrap your arms around yourself. Jesus loved the little child. And he said, whoever welcomes one of these welcomes me. Jesus wants us not to be the smartest, not to be the most beautiful, not to be first, but that we should serve one another. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us how we should treat others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord. What do you do on a road trip? How do you pass the time when you're sitting there in the car or driving for miles? Maybe you turn on the radio, listen to some music, or some people may listen to the audiobooks or a podcast. Kids are in the back seat. They may be squabbling with each other, or they may be watching a video or playing some electronic games going on. Or maybe you're a little bit old time and you just visit with someone, visit with the other pastors, have conversations going on, or maybe you're silent, or possibly even if you're ambitious, you sing songs together. I don't know that I've heard the full rendition of 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall all the way through. I'm not sure that I want to. So we pass the time. Jesus was on a road trip with his disciples, and they didn't have radios or electronic games, or they weren't even just visiting, or it doesn't say anything about singing songs. It wasn't recorded in there. But Jesus took the time, and he used the time. He used that time for teaching his disciples as they were traveling along. And he told them once again that they were heading towards Jerusalem, if that was their goal to get there. That he would be betrayed, and that he would suffer many things, that he would die, and then he would rise again. Remember from last week, we heard a very similar scripture passage. In Mark's gospel, Jesus predicts his passion three different times. Last week, we read that prediction out of chapter 8. Today, we read it out of chapter 9, and there is still yet one other prediction, and that is in chapter 10. And by the time we get to chapter 11, then, that is where Jesus enters into Jerusalem for that final time. And so at this point, Jesus has his face set towards Jerusalem. That's where he's heading. But on this road trip, it's just one leg of that road trip. He's heading from the Mountain of Transfiguration, and he's going by way of Galilee into Capernaum, and that's where he's staying the night. And so when Jesus tells the disciples, when he teaches about himself going into Jerusalem, the disciples are somewhat confused. They don't understand. It's a fearful thing. They know what's going to happen to Jesus or what can happen to Jesus. They know the dangers that are there because already the scribes and the Pharisees have challenged Jesus with tests and with questions and with traps. They know that he has riled up the religious authorities, that they're not very happy with him. And Jerusalem is the center of all that. They know there's danger in Jerusalem. Now, when Jesus predicted it the first time, remember from last week, it was Peter who piped up and says, Lord, we can't allow you to do this. No, that's not going to happen. You're the Messiah. That's not going to happen to you. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And so this time, when Jesus tells that, again, he is going to be betrayed, that he is going to suffer many things, that he's going to die and rise again, they don't understand that. They can't comprehend it. They can understand the danger. But then when they argued with Jesus, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And so this time, They hear it. They feel that danger. But they're silent. They don't want to say anything. They don't want to say anything to Jesus. They don't want to look stupid. And the other thing is that, well, if you ignore the problem, maybe it'll just go away. And so they remain silent. Somewhere along that journey, though, they get separated by maybe just a short distance. Maybe Jesus goes on ahead and the disciples kind of linger back. Or maybe it's the other way around. The disciples are going forward and Jesus kind of lingers back to have some quiet time by himself. But anyway, there's enough distance that the disciples have a conversation amongst themselves. Because when they get to Capernaum, when they get into the house where they're staying for the night, Jesus asks them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" You know, maybe Jesus didn't hear the full conversation, but he can read body gestures. He can see the expressions on people's face. He can maybe catch a word or two what they were saying if the debate got a little bit heated. He knew what was going on. "What was going on?" Jesus asked them. "What were you arguing about?" And the disciples once again are silent. You know how it is when you get caught. You know you've been doing something that you get caught up in the moment. And it seems like the right thing to do. But afterwards you think, I probably shouldn't have done that. The disciples got caught. So what are they going to do? They, once again, simply remain silent. But Jesus knows what's going on. And so Jesus tells them, whoever wants to be first among must be last of all and servant of all. Jesus knew that they were arguing about who was to be the greatest. You can just kind of hear maybe some of that conversation that was going on. Peter says, "Of course, I'm the greatest. I'm the leader of this group. Doesn't Jesus call me Peter the rock? I'm going to be the firm foundation that who is going to be the most important." And then maybe John pipes in and he says, "But Jesus is always talking about love. And I'm the disciple whom is loved. So I'm the most important." Or maybe Nathaniel piped in and he said, "You remember when we were going to feed that huge crowd and we had no food? Jesus came to me for advice. So I'm the most important." Or maybe Judas Iscariot was piping in with that argument that, "Well, I'm the treasure. Jesus trusts me with the money. And you know, the one with the most money is the most important." And so they were arguing back and forth. Jesus knew what was going on with his disciples. And so he says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Sometimes Jesus says things that we don't quite understand, or that really does just want to go over our heads, that just doesn't make sense, because that's not what we're taught. We're actually taught you need to be first. If you're going through a meal line, a potluck, or a family gathering line, you want to be first. If you're last, you're liable to miss your favorite dish because everybody else is going to clean that one out. Or if you want to go see a movie, a popular movie, or go to a theater or a sports event or something like that, you want to be first in line. Otherwise, you're going to get terrible seats, or you may not get tickets at all to get in. So we're taught to be first. And it goes beyond just standing in some sort of line. It goes to our attitude. We want to be first. We want to be the most important. We want to be the wealthiest. We want to have the most. We want to be the most popular. We want people to approach us to ask us questions. We want to be the keeper of the keys. We want people to look up to us. We want to make our own decisions. We want to be in control. We want to be God, and that goes to the heart of our sin. All the way back to original sin, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they wanted to be God. And that's who we want to be as well then too. We don't want to rely on anybody else. We don't want to be dependent upon anyone else. We want to take control of our own lives and of our own selves. We don't want to be dependent even upon God. We want to be God ourselves. We want to be first. And so here what Jesus is saying is, you must be last. Not only behind God, But put yourself behind everybody else. Put other people before you. Make sure that they're taken care of. Make sure that they have plenty to eat, food to eat, clothes to wear. Make sure that they're taken care of if they've had losses. Make sure they're taken care of if they're sick or if they're imprisoned. Take care of other people. Put them before yourselves. Don't hoard everything to yourself, only for yourself. He also says, be servant of all. And I think that comes to the heart of the gospel, to be servant of all, because that is actually the story of Jesus Christ himself. God is almighty. God created everything. God can take everything away. But rather than doing that, he sent his own son into this world to serve us, to do something for us. Jesus came into this world to save us, to make us alive, to give us new life, to give us new birth, so that we can be made whole, so that we can be made holy in order to live with God. Christ came to save us. He came to be our servants, to take care of us, to do the things that we need, that we cannot do for ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Only Christ can do that for us. In John's gospel, it's interesting that on the night that Jesus is betrayed, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the account of the Last Supper, where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, where he starts Holy Communion. In John's gospel, John doesn't have that. Rather, instead, John has a different story. He has the story of the foot washing, where he puts a towel around his waist and he stoops down, he unties the shoes of his disciples and he washes their feet, those dirty, smelly feet, those feet that have walked through dusty streets and alleys, streets where also animals have walked as well then too. Jesus stoops down and he washes their feet. The job of a servant. That's the heart of the gospel, is to be a servant, to be last of all, to be willing to serve those around us. Not only serve God, but serve each other, to make sure everybody else is taken care of before we are. Jesus also does something different here then as well then too. He takes a child and puts it in his lap and he says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but welcomes the one who sent me. Children in that day and time had no status. They were basically considered property of their father. They were not to be seen. They were not to be heard because they had no status. They had no standing in society in that day and time. They were one of the least in society. And Jesus takes that child and lifts it up and says, whoever welcomes one of this child welcomes me. We welcome the least into our lives. It's also interesting to note of children. And most of us have been around children at one point or in time. Most of us have been children at one point in time. You know how children are. Sometimes they can be loud, they can be noisy, they can throw fits, they can throw tantrums. They can be demanding. They can be expensive. But at the same time, children have something else about them. There's a sense of wonder about a child, of wanting to discover and to explore and to learn and to grow. And that sense of awe that a child has of everything around them, whether it's a butterfly or the majesty of a building, or of what people say and how other people act and behave. They're wanting to learn. They're soaking up that knowledge. Christ calls us to be childlike. Not to have the ambition to be the first in life, but rather to have that sense of awe, that sense of wonder, that sense of knowing that you need to be dependent, that you're depending upon other people. A child depends upon its parents to raise him and her in the right way. And to be vulnerable. A child is vulnerable. A child is is not necessarily strong physically. Adults are usually much stronger, also vulnerable in the sense of emotions then too, of how they are treated and what they learn from that. We're called to be childlike, to be willing to give ourselves up as Christ gave himself up, to take up that cross, even if it makes us vulnerable to being hurt or even to being crucified. Christ calls to us, if you want to be first, you must be last and servant of all. And also to welcome the little ones into Christ's care. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.